This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
But back in the day, Sudden Sam, you came to Minnesota. Explain your journey, because you came from Chicago to Minnesota. How did you land here in your senior year? How did that come together?
Well, actually, my mother died in 1991.
Yep.
And so my dad had just got released from prison. And so my dad said, come live with me. And so I came to visit Minneapolis in 92, around April. 92 on my spring break and see that I like it. And I fell in love with Minneapolis. And I told my dad, of course I'm coming.
So your mother passes, and your dad, Sharif, is famous for his life and gangs and everything else. And now he's out of prison and rehabilitating and all those things with the church. But how difficult is it, as you look back and you have kids of your own now, how difficult is it to survive and to stay positive when that's what you've grown up with?
Well, it was, it's tough, it's kind of mind over matter. And so, it was tough, during the struggle, during that period of time with all this, all the things that was going on during my first, stint here in Minneapolis in 1992. So I had to adjust. It was, difficult. Chicago's a fast city, pretty rapid. And so a lot of action. And then I come to Minneapolis where it's kind of a still city. And so, I had to adjust really, really fast.
But in the midst of all that, you've developed a game. You can ball. You're a basketball player. You're a Division I eventually basketball player. How did you just keep the discipline to keep working on the game through all that?
Through all the turmoil, I've been playing basketball since I was 4 years old. I grew up in Cabrini Green Housing Project,
which is the toughest part you can find in Chicago for people not familiar.
Probably around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so during the time, my brother William Gates from the movie Hoop Dreams, he was filming the movie Hoop Dreams, and he was at Marquette University at the time.
Yep.
And so, we played, we was together, playing, consecutive and playing consistently every day for hours and hours and hours. And so when I finally got an opportunity to get up to Minnesota, in Chicago, I was picked preseason player of the year in my conference before I even came to Minneapolis.
So you had established yourself on the South Side.
Yes, yes, yes. I established myself in Chicago where I was picked preseason player of the year and went from there and then came here with a different perspective and a different outlook, opportunity to showcase myself here in Minneapolis.
This is an aside, but what happened to William Gates from Hoop Dreams? Where is he at now in his life?
William, he's a minister. He's living in San Antonio, Texas now.
Huh.
His kid's playing at Houston. My nephew's playing at Houston Baptist. One just graduated from Houston Baptist. William Jr. just graduated from Houston Baptist. They played Division I basketball in Texas. And William's a minister in San Antonio, Texas.
I'll be darned. That's a great story for those people that saw Hoop Dreams, the documentary. So you get here and you're playing with Minneapolis Roosevelt, who happens to be the best team in the state at the time. John Thomas, of course, who had gone to the Gophers of the NBA. Robert Mestis, one of the great point guards that we've seen come through here. And you had the Bobster Bebop Walker on that team. So you walk in and you've already got this great team. What was that like?
Oh, it was awesome. It was like playing with a college team. Before I came to Minneapolis, I did my research. And so I was looking to see what players, the top players that Minnesota had in the country. And at that time, they had John Thomas, which he was ranked 50th in the country at the time. He's probably the number four best power forward in the country. And so Donald Tex Phillip, a former Roosevelt Teddy who went to play at Wyoming University, he convinced me to go to Roosevelt. I was choosing between De La Salle and Roosevelt. And so they convinced me to get over to Roosevelt, and I saw that John was getting a lot of notoriety. And so I thought it would be a golden opportunity for me to go over there and play with him.
How did you guys ever lose?
Man, the luck of the draw. You know, they didn't come to play. You know, you can't take.
For people that don't remember, you're ranked number one in the state. It looked like you were going to win the state, and you got beat in the section finals.
Yeah, we was ranked number one for the, you know, we went on a 27-game winning streak where we were top 25 in the country. Remember back in the day, it was Super USA 25 in the country, and we were ranked in the country at that time. We had a 27-game winning streak, and, you know, we got complacent at that time, and people got comfortable, and, you know, how'd that go? The luck of the draw, the bounce of the ball.
Yeah, and that's it happens every year in high school sports. That's why we love it, but you never forget it for sure. And you go on and you play in college, you play at Pan Am, and you have a good college career. And then what? What did you branch out in immediately in your 20s and 30s? What did you do?
After I graduated from Washburn University in Topeka, Kansas, went to Mexico. That was my first job. I went to Ireland. That was my second job. Well, I was a coach and player in Ireland. I was there for 3 months, and it was a wonderful experience. My pay was $18,000, so I thought it was a lot of money at the time.
Sure.
And so coming out of college, I thought it was a lot. And then I went on to – me and Khalid went over to Israel. And in 2002, I was in Israel with me and Khalid, El Amin.
Yep.
And in 2000, Don Shelby got me a tryout with the Seattle Supersonics.
That's right. Don Shelby got you a tryout with Seattle.
Yeah. So I went out there with Billy McKinley. Dwayne Casey was he came to pick me up from the airport at the time.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. And so he was assistant coach at for the Seattle Supersonics, and so we had a wonderful talk, and then I established myself in Seattle, and they told me that I could play there. And from there, I went to Israel. After that, me and Khalid Alameen went to Israel. Quincy Lewis was over there at the time as well.
Sure.
And so we had a Minnesota connection out there.
Okay, you've come back and you've gotten into the business world. Tell me what it's like to be an African-American male trying to make it as an entrepreneur. Are there a number of roadblocks, a few roadblocks? Is it hard? Is it easy? Is it what?
It's what you make of it, really. You know, I've been doing it for 20 years. So, you know, in order to build a brand, it'll probably take 20 years. And so now is my time that I've built my brand, and now it's time to really establish myself in the community, not just the urban community, in every community. And that's why I went into the restaurant business. I did retail at first, clothing and things of that nature. So I established myself in the city with selling clothes and things of that nature. And then I jumped into the restaurant business because I knew it would be lucrative. But I had to find something that was a niche, that, you know, something like a niche that no one was doing at the time. And in 2011 and 2012, I came with some guys I met in Chicago. They had just came out with a restaurant, Just Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, I know you remember Gerard Hughes.
Yeah.
Gerard Hughes played at St. Paul Central.
Oh, yeah, he had game.
Yeah, so, Gerard Hughes has a restaurant management degree from the University of South Dakota.
Okay.
And so I hired him, and I flew him on a trip for a business trip. We go to Chicago, and we're going to taste different restaurants, a different variety of restaurants. And so we went to Just Turkey, and he tasted it. We didn't go to any other restaurant. We went to Just Turkey, and he tasted the food, and he said, this is it.
And so you come back, you set up a Just Turkey location, which is a franchise, and you get possession of this in 2018 or 19. It happens to be a half block away from where George Floyd was killed. So now you're set up right in the heart of not just where you grew up, but this world monumental area now. How does it feel down there to you to go to work? And what is it what does your community in that area feel like?
The community, when it first happened, everyone was in disarray, you know, across the country, you know. But here the guy to say he wants his mother when someone is standing on his neck. He's saying he can't breathe. It was a tearjerker. And so so whoever saw the video and whoever heard it, audio, it was a tearjerker. And, you know, it wasn't a positive light for the community at the time. And so what we did was during the time, it was like a pandemic. And so it was, you know, no one was doing the pandemic. It was rare, you know, no one's outside and things for this to happen. And then it brings everybody outside. So then the community comes out in support of George Floyd and during this pandemic to where now the world gets to see what's going on with police brutality, not just here but throughout the world. And so it's sad, and for us to open our restaurant, so we had to go through a period of time where we had the pandemic, we couldn't open up our restaurant, and then we had George Floyd where we couldn't get no trucks delivered, no food trucks, no plumbing trucks. We couldn't get nothing to come to the area because they said it was a war-torn area.
Yeah,
so so it was difficult during that time.
But now you're almost there. What do you worry about when you see what happened, you see the riots? Do you worry that could be inflamed again? Do you worry that we're a powder box that could explode at any time? How do you feel about the community, the protests, all those things, and where they sit right now with people in Minneapolis?
Yeah, the people in Minneapolis, we're all sitting on our hands because we want the right outcome for this situation. And it's good that Keith Ellison stepped up and did the right thing because a normal person can go and kill a police officer, and if he does, he's going to go to jail forever. And it should be the same way for police officers and through police brutality. In the neighborhood, in order for us to build a relationship with the community and build a relationship with the police, we have to trust each other. We have to build a division to where we have a sense of unity. And I say this, and not to be because if they don't get no conviction of these officers, it's going to back up. It's going to be turmoil.
You can feel that right now, huh?
Yeah, that's the energy.
Is there a lot of activity? Do you worry about gang activity? Is that independent of the protests and what we're seeing? What do you see on the South Side? You know it better than anybody else.
Yeah, what we see on the South Side is the neighborhood where my restaurant is a predominantly black community.
Yeah, it's 38th in Chicago. That's where it is.
Yes, and it's a neighborhood ran by the blood. And so
you already know that going in.
Yes, we know.
So what does that mean for somebody who doesn't understand this? It's run by the Bloods.
Yeah, it's Blood is an organization based out of California, Bloods and Crips. And like in Chicago, we have GDs and Vice Lords. And so it's similarities in the gangs and with the different names.
What does that mean to you, though, working there? Does that mean that do they put the heat on you, or is it like a mafia kind of thing where they say we'll protect you? What does that mean?
We've been protected pretty much because we're black owned, and so that gives us a thumbs up. But we also in the community with the kids. We give out hot dogs. We barbecue for the children. We do face painting. Just try to, keep the kids in high spirit during this whole, pandemic where the kids can't go to school.
And will the Bloods leave you alone then, or what does that mean?
Yeah, well, the Bloods, they're not, it's around us, but it's not involving us.
Okay.
So that's a good thing about it. It's their community. And so so they're doing everything to try to protect their community, which is understandable, but it's kind of disheartening. Because they don't have anything to do. The kids don't have
no that's right.
activities.
Yep.
When I grew up, we had, different boys and girls camps to go to, different parks to go to try to, not join gangs and things of that nature. And, I didn't know my dad was the leader of a gang until I was 16 years old.
Really?
My parents kept it away from me, which was a good thing. Growing up in Cabrini Green, if I'd have known that, I probably had a different outcome in life.
What did you learn from your dad? So watch him go to prison, watch him lead a gang, all that he did. What did you learn? What was your takeaway?
My takeaway from my dad was that, he was a natural-born leader. He's a leader of men. He's a political prisoner. It's the thing, if the police want you, they can get you. They were looking for a situation to get him because of what happened with Hoff murder and things of that situation, which he didn't have anything to do with. I talked to him over the 20 years he was incarcerated. And I kept asking him, Dad, I need to know the truth about the whole situation. And he said, the Hoff murder wasn't his doing. So people went out of their way and just did some things that on their own negligence and on their own recognizance. And so, and my cousin happened to be a part of it. And so they went away from what was naturally what they were supposed to do. It all occurred when a blind man got beat up by the police. The MTC police.
And this is back in the early 90s for people not familiar. The famous case.
Yeah, it all started from police beating up a blind man. And from there, it just
escalated,
yeah, to a whole different, you know, perspective to where someone had to lose a life. And it's sad and unfortunate that that happened.
Just think about that world living that. Somebody's got to lose life because of this, and that's a police officer, and that guy's sitting at a restaurant, Jerry Hoffman. It's an extraordinary story.
Yeah.
And 30 years later, when you bring it up, it all comes back to those of us that remember it. You will open on when, and where can people find Just Turkey?
Just Turkey, we're located 3731 Chicago Avenue South. We'll be opening in 2.5 weeks, and we're doing a soft opening. Our hours will be from 11 to 9 on the weekend and 11 to 8 during the weekday.
Can I bring Shelby by?
Oh, for sure. You got to bring my man, Doc. Come on through.
I showed him the picture of you and I together. He was sure happy for you.
Oh, that's awesome. He's been knowing about this for years. And so Doc's been my mentor for over 20 years. Having him in my life has been one of the best things that ever happened.
You're a lucky man if you got Don Shelby in your life mentoring you.
Yes, he's one of the he's a pillar. I lost my girlfriend in 2002.
I remember.
She got killed. And, the first person I called was Don, and he was there for me. You know, we sat on the hill, and I was crying, and he was just holding me as a father figure. And, he's always been in my corner through anything. And so I really appreciate him, and I love him like a father. And I'm very fortunate to have him in my life.
You are for sure. Sam, thank you so much. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, Mac. Appreciate it.
You got it. Sudden Sam Willis. He could play some basketball. And, boy, he's seen some things. When your dad's running the Vice Lords and ends up in prison, you see some things. You lose your mom and all those things. I don't know how these kids come out of this stuff. I don't.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.